Conan.
What up?
You may have noticed an increase in articles, videos, and posts recently talking about the health risks of inadequate sleep. Well, if you've been listening to this show, you know that Legacy Sports Nutrition has been telling you guys that for years. Do you want less belly fat, more testosterone, more energy, better mood? There's one hack that doesn't require a change in diet or more exercise. Improve your sleep with Recovery PM. My favorite product from Legacy Sports Nutrition, Joe's too. Take two Recovery PM about an hour before bed and feel the difference in the quality of sleep you get, and after a couple weeks, you'll notice how everything else is improving. Recovery PM is a top-selling product at LegacySubs.com, and that's because over 80% of the people that buy it once come back for more. That's not marketing, that's results. So Joe's been using it, feels great. He's nice. He's at a party right now. So Joe gets so much sleep, good sleep. He's able to go out to parties, surprise birthday parties on Friday nights.
Right, and I show up on the show. Yeah.
Right. So try it now. You won't regret it. Go to LegacySupps.com. That's LegacySupps.com or RecoveryPM.com. That's RecoveryPM.com. And use code K100 for an extra 10% off your order. And of course, using code K100 supports this show too. Level up your life with Recovery PM now from Legacy Sports Nutrition and our boy Nick Aldis.
And I don't use the all-in-one, but I'm going to. I use the nighttime fat burner, which has done, which has been very effective. Check out for fat burning, for muscle gain, for anything that you can imagine. They have Legacy Subs for men and Legacy Subs for women. Check that out at LegacySubs.com. Boom.
Next is from Power Requires Hustle. That's our boy King Cole, a fan of the show. Subject is King Cole. King Cole, you're speaking about yourself in third person, which I'm not particularly a fan of. The subject is King Cole.
Should I kazoo that or no?
Yeah, kazoo this because it's from King Cole.
Right,
and the subject is written
himself.
Out King Cole and his real life beef with Danhausen.
Right.
Yeah. Feeny doesn't like that.
Right. I'll be honest with you. I've had some weird things happen to me, but none as weird as when I noticed a Danhausen, who I've never met or had a conversation with, has me blocked on Twitter. Hell, I haven't even seen even one of his matches or interviews, not a single one. So I don't know. It kind of took me by surprise at first. Like the time I fell down and gigged myself horizontally the hard way and bled all over my Percocet shitting duck. hold up. This ain't Raven show. Is that a clip from Raven show?
Yeah, Raven has a concept that we're going to write a story or a screenplay about a duck that shits Percocets. That's it's a concept that's been discussed. Yeah.
Anywho, have you guys ever had another wrestler beef with you without you even knowing it? I've had multiple people. JBL blocks me on Twitter. I've never tweeted on his account or something. Danhausen blocks me on Twitter. So you may be getting blocked by Danhausen if you follow me, because Danhausen might be the type of person that blocks people on Twitter and blocks his followers. So that might be why you got blocked by Danhausen. So
I am not blocked by Danhausen.
How about you, Cody? You blocked by Danhausen. Cody, what do you think of Danhausen?
He's a very cool guy. Yeah, I did, at the beginning, I had seen him in Ring of Honor, and I was like, "What is this?" You know.
Right.
And it wasn't funny to me.
Right,
it is an acquired taste. And then I started to see more of him, and I was like, you know what? It is funny. And but his in-ring work is Limburger cheese bad.
All right. Next is from Steve Stewart, and the subject is Santos Escobar. First off, thanks for doing a great podcast. My question is, do you think Santos Escobar will be a main eventer? He cuts a good promo, he's believable, and he looks the part. Compared to Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, who both look like the fans in the front row. Thanks for reading. God bless the K100 cast. I don't know if he can be a main eventer like the last match on the show type guy, like the top dog. But I like his gimmick, and you can do a lot of stuff with that gimmick and a lot of vignettes and storylines. You know, like the narco. I don't know. It's definitely a gimmick that has a lot of avenues and angles you could work with. You know, so. And basically, all you need is good character development to get into the main event. Like, everybody's work in WWE is like, nobody's work sucks. Everybody's work is solid enough that they can perform in a main event on any show. Would you agree with that, Conan?
Yeah. But let me tell you about Santos Escobar real quick. So, he was my top heel in AAA, and I invested a lot of time in him. And
What was his name in AAA again, Conan?
Hijo de Fantasma.
Got it.
And so... we spoke a lot, and I'm very proud that I helped, you know, him become what he is now. And here's the other thing about Santos, and this is very important, what separates the great guys like the Eddies and the Rays and the Shawn Michaels and all that is the drive that they have. He has a different drive than most wrestlers. He's a sponge. He's a student of the game, and he wants to be a star, and he's going to be a star.
Joe, I got a new note. Okay, this next email has something very interesting, okay?
All right.
From Mark, okay? And Mark says, subject is Chelsea Green equals the hottest. Solutions to the set superior one, the great K-O-double-G, and the podcast mastermind. Now, this is a name, Joe, that I think that you should use. Mr. J.F. Feeney 3RD.
I like
what do you think about it? Like Mr. J.F. Feeney the third, but the guy spells it Mr. J.F. Feeney 3RD. R-D.
I like that.
I can make an RBD like shirt that says 3RD.
Yeah, 3RD.
Yeah,
right.
And six people could buy it.
Well, that's still how much you make off that? $54 maybe? $9 a shirt?
Yeah, something like that.
Compliments. K100 Sports and Talks are both great shows each week, mostly because Disco always knows how to shore up the topics. Disco always remains the highlights of Russo's LGBTQ show every week, even though he isn't physically on the show due to Russo continually using his sound bites. Of course, this may be speculation. We don't know. Question. Out of all the women in this world, would Chelsea Green be one of the hottest? The UK some think so, and has made the wrestling Twitter mob come out in support of Toni Storm and Jamie Hayter. The article is attached below. Let me read this. Pull this up, Joe.
All right, it's up.
Wow. Chelsea Green branded the hottest woman in the world.
Mm-hmm.
After posting sexy, she is super hot.
Yes.
Like, I got to give it to what's his name?
Matt Cardona.
Matt Cardona. He's a good looking guy too. I want to say like she's out of his league, but she's not out of his league. But he hit a home run with this girl for sure.
And where's the pictures of the other girls?
There's no pictures of the other girls, but the wrestling fans, because Chelsea Green is like in WWE right now, the AEW fans are all mad. And they're like coming out in defense of Toni Storm.
Wasn't she the one that was mad because people were oogling over her pictures?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. Come on. Like really, you're going to dress like this and expect nobody to have any reaction whatsoever?
She's kind of the typical snowflake-ish, you know, like doesn't want to be objectified. But
right, I know she's not doing this, but that looks like a thirst trap. You know what I'm saying?
Right, of course. Yeah. Next is from James J. Armand, and the subject is thoughts on a certain podcaster. Hi, guys. James from Los Angeles. Love the show and how level-headed you guys are with your show. Can't say the same with this solo monster. I was wondering if you guys are familiar with him and what are your thoughts on the guy? I mean, I sent him a question once in which he got flippant and marked out. There was also a time when AEW first arose. He was adamant that we aren't real wrestling fans if we want this promotion to fail. I then told him, by that logic, you aren't a real football fan if you want XFL to fail. And he said, no. I'm like, whatever. Since he leaves his own warped reality, what do you guys think? Now, this Solo Monster guy is one of the Mark podcasters. Solo Monster.
Okay? Wait a minute.
He's one of these Mark podcasters that's throwing shade at me. We played a clip of him on the Throw Show and throwing shade at me. But this guy's just another Mark fan that has a podcast, like the JD kid, you know? Yeah. And I guess he has, you know, he can say anything. And it's like, bro, the guy just talks a lot of shit and has fans. And I guess they think he's right about some of the stuff he's saying, and they like, I don't know. It's like, you know, like guys like that are just, they're a dime a dozen. They're just fans. They're there's no like expertise. They're just, it's just fan podcasts, you know?
Well, speaking of fans and fan podcasts, this clip was finally located, and I can't make it any larger to you. I just so you know, but here you go. Finally, after all this time, KG at Lucha Underground has been located. Can you see this?
Oh, let's play. Yeah.
Can you see it, Conan?
Is it a clip?
Yeah.
It's just a GIF. Ready?
Oh, just yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. We buried him on the show for that.
Yeah.
When you're given free access to a show, you should act a certain way, you know, to show that you're happy.
Yeah,
oh, everybody got him free, dude.
He said he was a cast, like acting like a cast member. He was playing his role.
Next is from Brandon Potter. The subject is Roman and Disco, Roman versus Disco and stipulation matches. Conan, how would you armchair book Roman versus Disco? Also, are there any common stipulation matches that you or Disco have never wrestled? Cage, ladder, etc. I've been in every match, by the way. I've not been in Ultimate X match, even though I invented that match.
You have not been in a barbed wire match.
Oh yeah, I have not been a barbed wire match, but I've been in cage and ladder matches. We have a very entertaining. There's an entertaining Filthy Animals versus Who are we fighting against? Maybe like the
Natural Born Thrillers.
Maybe there's a cage match where it's like a six minute ladder match on Nitro, and it's a very entertaining 6 minute ladder match. So that should, if I can find that, so maybe next week on the show.
As I googled it real quick here, I see Filthy Animals versus Boogie Knight. So I guess that's after you left, and that's a ladder match.
Right, that's right. Me and Alex against the Filthy Animals. Very entertaining ladder match. Pull it up, Joe.
Do you know what was at the top of the ladder?
Like the duck, right?
The disco duck.
Yeah, we were fighting for the duck. How funny was that, Conan?
Yeah. And we're selling it. Might I add, the duck is blindfolded so he doesn't have to watch disco wrestle. Hey, Tony, you think disco has a bigger beak than the duck? I'd say it's pretty even.
I would say it's pretty even as a draw with Alex Ryan. With a missile drop kick from the hell to draw him in. And we are inside of 4 weeks away from Halloween Havoc, sponsored by Electronic Arts, WCW, and Stage of Show.
Sweet.
Nope.
Can somebody get the damn duck and get out of here? Oh!
Push using a ladder. Open yourself out, and down goes Alex White.
Oh, look at this.
Oh, well, they don't want to get the duck. They want to do some more damage. He's moving the ledge.
Double nut sweet. Those boys had anything down there. It's
getting everything. Right and left. Combination. Oh. Right hand. That time, the top rung of the ladder.
Sunset.
Super duper sunset plants disco with that cue.
I don't know if I've ever told you guys this. Disco's feet are wet because his career's been treading water for so long.
Oh, Alex, cut off. Late Junior going up the ladder.
Can we go over in this? I don't think we did.
There goes Alex. Oh, nope. Filthy Animals.
You got the bad booking right there. All right, so next is from...
Well, let me tell you how. The guy asked me how I would book you and Roman, right?
Right.
The 4 second squash, Roman over.
So stupid.
Just watch Disco versus Goldberg and repeat.
But there's an aftermath on this. He starts grounding and pounding him afterwards, opens him up, Bloodline comes out, Sokoa hits him with that fucking spike, the Usos hit him with a splash, then another splash, and as he's getting up to leave the thing, Paulie hits him with the belt.
That would
be my booking.
It'd be me and Johnny the Bull and Big Vito, and we would challenge Roman and the Usos to a Brooklyn street fight.
Tushy kicking?
Just a Brooklyn street fight. Just have a Brooklyn street fight. Yeah.
All right.
On the streets of Brooklyn.
Right.
And we'd go over, obviously. Right. Next is from...
Who would be taking the pin?
Jimmy Uso.
All right.
On interference, Sami Zayn would interfere for us. Yo, Conan and Joe.
Ew.
Breaking news. Manscaped is now selling beard products. That's right. They've gone from waist to face to help you replace that bulky razor with their brand new Beard Hedger Pro Kit. Manscaped helps you get the golden rod of a Greek god. Now they've created the best tools for you to turn heads with a clean, perfectly groomed and conditioned beard. Finally tame your mane by going to manscaped.com and use our code K100 for 20% off plus free shipping. This kit is about to change your life. The Beard Hedger Pro Kit has made it easier than ever to craft your signature look. It will take your facial hair anywhere from Gandalf, the Great Wizard, to Totally Bare. You can even look like the ZZ Top guys if you want to. LaGrange, great song. You agree, Conan?
Tremendous.
It all starts with the Beard Hedger, and this thing is a juggernaut of fixing faces. It's waterproof, and its cordless trimmer has a rotary wheel that gives you 20 hair cutting lengths, all with just one guard. Perfect. No more messy drawers full of extra add-ons. And like you heard that, no more drawers full of 20 different guards. It's just
Thank
one
God.
Guard. Perfect, yeah. So with 20 lengths, it's never so easy to find your beard look. Plus, the trimmer has a titanium-coated T-blade that is tough on the hair but smooth on your face. Do you know that I'm slim in the waist but cute in the face? Would you agree to that?
You are a Southern Belle.
Yeah, the Pro Kit is much more than a trimmer, Joe. It comes with 4 dermatologist-tested formulations for your post-trim care, and it has the beard shampoo and conditioner. All your hair is different. Your bearded hair is much more coarse and easier to damage. That's why the kit has shampoo and conditioner specifically designed to moisturize, reduce ingrown hairs, and replenish your natural oils, promoting beard health. Well, then they have the beard oil, too. And this nutrient-infused oil relieves dryness both on the beard and the skin beneath. And they cap it off with the beard balm. It's a pomade that shapes, styles, and moisturizes, bringing the amazing scent of fresh eucalyptus, rosemary, and lavender essential oils. Fantastic. And the beard kit also comes with three free gifts. Guess what they are? A beard brush, comb, and scissors to ensure your beard is ready to impress. So get 20% off and free shipping with their code K100 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use our code K100.
To Manscaped, which we love your products. We use them. We swear by them, okay?
Let me ask you a question. Sami Zayn follows you on Twitter, right?
Right.
You guys follow each other? Why don't you DM him our promo code here and see if he can...
if he's interested.
Yeah, he's interested in for his beard, yeah.
Yeah, perfect, I think, right? That's part of his personality right now.
Yeah.
But anyway, so check out Manscaped. That brings you the most comfortable underwear you've ever tried. They got this leather bag that's awesome. Everything they do is high quality. So check out all their products at Manscaped. Boom.
Next is from Garth F. Killing Machine. The subject is Lesnar heat. Since Triple H has taken over, Brock Lesnar lost to Roman Reigns, beat Bobby Lashley, but then got beat down after the match and got eliminated after about 30 seconds in the Rumble. Then lost again to Lashley by DQ, and now he's working a WrestleMania match with Omos, guy that is basically the wrestling equivalent of a Bill Body podcast. So what I'm asking these three guys is, do you think that there's some chance that Triple H is burying Brock Lesnar on purpose? I mean, Brock Lesnar is still Brock Lesnar, but he's not being used the way a draw like him should be used. Why Lesnar versus Lashley wasn't held off for WrestleMania is just effing crazy. By the way, guys, I'm watching your Eric Bischoff interview on YouTube. Joe, how effing cool is it that you get to be paid to talk with WCW legends? That question's for you, Joe. What do you think of that?
Especially because, you know, obviously I respect Eric a lot and find him to be very, very intelligent. Plus, I was a fan of Conan on MLW radio and the stuff D.I. did, and then a fan of this show. So I'm lucky enough, yeah, to work with guys that I was enjoying even outside the ring, too.
Brock's done.
Yeah.
I mean, he's 40-something years old. He's coming back, and now he's putting guys over to try to elevate guys. So there's nothing wrong with that. He's still a prominent.
Well-paid.
He's not on every show. Right.
They still a mystique about him. He's still Brock Lesnar.
Right. And he doesn't – all Brock cares about is the money. He does business for everybody. He doesn't – like he didn't care if he goes over. It's like this guy fought in the UFC for real. Like,
Didn't Goldberg beat him in a couple seconds?
You don't care about doing a job like on a
bro, that right there proves it to you. When Goldberg beat him, remember?
Yeah, real quick.
Yeah,
30 seconds.
Hey, definitely he's willing to do
this. He's not a mark, right?
Right.
Right. And he's probably paid very handsomely, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like you guys said, I think he's just wrapping up. And even Forbes picked up a story from PW Insider saying that Lesnar was saying farewell to some people and telling them that he was finishing up at the Elimination Chamber.
He's still Brock Lesnar, bro. I guess get outside projects, whether it be movie, a TV series, a whole bunch of shit out there for him, you know?
Say he's leaving WrestleMania's his last event. Does that mean you put Omos over?
I'm very interested to see what's going to happen in that match.
Yes. Yeah.
Because we're going to have two visuals are going to that you don't see a lot. Brock Lesnar getting thrown around like a rag doll and Omos getting thrown around like a rag doll. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a very interesting dynamic because none of these guys – like Brock doesn't very often wrestle bigger guys, you know, because he's a big guy. This is it's the first time in a long time he's the guy he's wrestling. He's giving away 100 pounds to, you know. So it's gonna be interesting. I'm interested in seeing it.
Right, give me one.
They have a reason they booked it. I mean, they obviously have some idea of what to do. So I'm interested. You know, I don't have the gloom and doom that everybody else has for that match. I think it could be a show stealer in that, like, completely better than what people expect is in that sense, you know?
Conan stepped away for a second.
Oh, hottest woman in the world.
All right.
Next is from Bodook, and the subject is Disco List. What's up, Conan? Not so much disco. Longtime listener before COVID. Took a break, and now I'm back listening to your podcast every week. My question is, what happened to the Disco List? It was a staple of the podcast in the past. Just curious what happened. Didn't see anything about it when I Googled it. The Disco List is every couple months, and we actually should have one coming up very soon. Would you agree with that, Conan?
Yes.
Maybe next week we'll do a Disco List. But I'm adding a couple people to the list, too, when we do it again. All right? So get ready for that.
I like additions.
Yeah, there was a I think we have an email about it. There's a new some idiot that set himself on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Here. Might get added to it. Next is from Kevin Powell. Subject is, should they have to split the titles before WrestleMania? Hi, guys. Huge fan from Perth, Western Australia. I have a question for Conan Disco. Which is the dumbest wrestler you've worked with in the same company with? For example, that always made choices that left you scratch your head. Keep up the good work, guys, and all the best to you. Conan, I pray you get better soon. The dumbest guy? I don't even know who to say like the dumbest guy was.
If I had to say one, I'd say 100% Disco.
Oh. Oofy. Wouldn't no, kind Disco. Of dumb
no, you were dumber, yeah.
Right. Well, that's Chief Shot.
You know it is.
So, Conan.
What up?
I've been training, and right. I've been taking my AG1 by Athletic Greens every right. day. What a product. Everything you need. I used to take a lot of vitamins. Yeah, I'm a pretty healthy guy. I'm very much into personal health, diet, exercise. But I had all my vitamins, and I had like 8-9 bottles of vitamins that I would take. Athletic Greens is the perfect replacement for that. It's got 75 high-quality ingredients. Like I said, everything you need. It's a comprehensive health and power of habit in one. It's great for recovery. I take mine after my workout. You can take it. There's many different ways you can take it, but taking it after the workout is perfect for me because I get my nutrition like right when I'm done working out because I do intermittent fasting. So it's like, it's perfect. It inspires me to be as great as the athletes that I'm a fan of. You know, I like to work out, and like these guys take this too. It's like AG1 is so much more than a greens powder. It's all of your key health products in one. Joe, you've been taking it too, right?
Yeah, and as you mentioned before, you can, you know, drink it in the morning, drink it later on in the day after a workout. I kind of rotate. Just depends on how I'm feeling that day, but I love having it in the morning. I did replace coffee with it, and sometimes I'll use it after I do my fight camp workout. So, but the taste is great. And you feel noticeably different. You know, sometimes later in the day, you get a little lethargic and whatnot. Just pop in your AG1 by Athletic Greens, have your drink, and or take it to the gym. You know, it works very, very well.
Yeah, you get your daily nutrients, 75 high-quality ingredients all in one. It's a comprehensive solution, and it's what you need for your supplemental routine. The Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/Conan. That's athleticgreens.com/KONNAN. Check this product out. I use it every day. Joe Rogan uses them as a sponsor. You can tell this is the type of product that if you're into physical fitness and you're into personal health, you need AG1 by Athletic Greens.
Yo, and real quick, it contains chlorophyll, which carries oxygen to the blood cells. It boosts your immune system, better digestion, whole plethora of things. All 3 of us use it. We all swear by it.
But check that out at athleticgreens.com/Conair.
Boom.
Next is from Jason Murphy, and the subject is working versus real names. Hey, K100 crew, always curious about this, so I'll ask my favorite podcast. Do family and friends call Conan and Disco by their real names or working names or both? How long did it take you two to adjust to answering to different names depending on the people and situation? P.S. Conan, here's to hoping you have a fast recovery. Disco, keep up the good work triggering the basement dwellers on Twitter. If I ever take my dream vacation to Vegas, I'll stop by the club with a $20 handshake for you. Thank you, Jason. Everybody calls me Disco, like everybody. Like maybe 2 people call me Glenn. Everybody calls me Disco, so I don't know. What about you, Conan?
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah. Everybody calls you Disco too?
Yep.
They don't call you Conan?
No.
They call you no. Next is from Chris Archer, Karcher, and subject is dialysis. Greetings and salutation. Currently on my way home from funeral, wanted to thank Conan for introducing the audience to the snowman. I need a laugh.
That's tremendous.
Anyway, when I was 11 years old, my sisters and I went with my mother 3 times a week to accompany my grandma for dialysis treatment. After smoking a pack of cigarettes her whole life, watching her in pain and spend all this time in the hospitals, motivated my sisters and I to avoid smoking cigarettes. Weed is a different story. Was curious if Conan has any idea if he had any idea of particular unhealthy activity he's depicting perhaps led to having to go through dialysis procedures, or even a doctor who told you maybe doing something different in an earlier age could have avoided dialysis. I'm hoping if Conan is willing to share this information, it could lead listeners to changing their lifestyles. Glad to hear you're doing better.
No, the thing was, is I was in a ladder match in Tijuana, and the ladder was in a cage, and the ladder was propped up against the cage. And this is when we had just gone to ECW. So we were doing a lot of extreme matches in Tijuana that had never been seen before. And we were doing incredible, incredible business. Anyways, this ladder somehow tripped or somebody hit it. And I wasn't looking that way. I was looking the other way, and it came and boom, and it hit me right where my kidney is, and it bruised it, and I didn't take care of it. And then next thing I knew, the kidneys were failing because there's no symptoms. It ain't like your urine is burning or you're short of breath. There is like really no symptoms until one day you do a blood test. And since I was always in perfect health, I never took blood tests until I finally did. And they were going to give me a hip implant. And they were like, oh, dude, your kidneys are failing. And I was like, what?
Next from Michael Hempstead. The subject is Billy's hate for Cody. Hey, guys, first time asking a question. I usually love Billy in the podcast, but recently he's gone full on F Cody, which I don't really understand. Did Cody tell him that Sean Ross Sapp is a better dirt sheet nerd than him or something? We had a conversation about Cody, and Billy's contention is he thinks that the Cody getting the WrestleMania main event spot is kind of like the B version, because like he was expecting the Rock against Roman. Mm-hmm. And so all the people that were looking forward to Rock versus Roman are kind of upset that it's like Cody versus Roman instead of Rock versus Roman, because that's not as big of a draw. But Billy did go on out on – we had this conversation, and it was a disagreement with him. He did say that Cody was going to start getting booed, correct?
Right.
Has Cody been getting booed?
Nope.
Absolutely not. The fan, yeah. Bro, like I said, I'm not the biggest fan of Cody, but I can't deny the pop that the guy's getting in the spot, and he's doing good TV and cutting really good promos. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's this spot that they've given him, you can't knock him. Like, everything he's done so far has been.
Yeah, he's risen to the occasion. Well. Not everybody does.
Absolutely.
That's a big platform they're giving him, and he's not. He said, you know, all these years I watched other guys there, and I thought I should be there, and now I'm here, and I'm not going to fucking let it go.
Right. And he's doing a good. He's doing the hardest thing when you're placing that spot, keeping the fans.
Right.
He's got the people, and they're cheering him every week.
And it's not like, only you know, that, bro. Here's the other thing. Yeah, I'm not a real huge Cody Rhodes fan like you, but you have to admit that everything he's doing is working. He's mm-hmm. super over, and the added fact that, you know, people could have turned on him because of the Sami Zayn factor.
Absolutely.
So he also had that going against him.
Yeah.
Right now it says that Cody is, as a Disco Appreciate here in the odds for WrestleMania, Cody is a -550 favorite to win the title and beat Reigns. So there you go.
Wow.
You want to hear the rest?
No.
Okay.
I don't want to. I don't, because it tells you who's going to win.
It's kind of spoilers, yeah.
Yeah. Next is from Ben. Subject is tanning. What's up, Disco and Conan? Before the days of spray tans, the boys regularly visit the tanning salon. Have you heard of many getting skin cancer from it, or is the fear overhyped? I used to tan, but I never used to like over tan. I would just stay because we put oil on, so you want to be tan enough to where, you know, with oil on you just look the part. So, you know. I mean, I would never get too dark, but I would tan probably maybe twice a week or once a week just to stay in shape, you know. So I don't know.
Yeah, you were like me; you tanned easily and you got a good color. But I never heard of any guys getting skin cancer.
Yeah, me neither. Joe, pull up the.
I got it.
This video.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next is from Willem Alessia, and this is good. Is this the new Burning Man? Good morning, everyone. Day one listener. Wonder if the video below fits the criteria of whether or not this is the new Burning Man. For a bit of context, while the incident is currently investigated, little information is known. A man set himself on fire on the campus of the University of California, Berkeley, specifically on Sproul Plaza, the center of the campus. As per the university's campus police in a statement below, Berkeley Mental Health was on scene and several Good Samaritans tried to render aid and put out the fire. At least one of these Good Samaritans sustained unknown injuries and was transported to a local hospital. All the best to you all and continued success to the entire team. Sincerely, that's from William. You ready? You got the video yet, Joe?
Yeah. See it?
Yeah. I was thinking they put this guy on the list. The city had set himself on fire. And instead of rolling on the ground and just burning, this one idiot throws his bike at him.
Why did he throw a bike at him?
I don't know. Like to knock the guy down. Maybe he thought they would put the fire out. But look at this idiot. Get on the ground! Get on the ground! Stupid college kid that's trying to, you know.
They're yelling at him to get on the ground. Obviously, he wants to burn.
Yeah. What do you think, Conan? Should I put that guy on the list?
Yeah, I think you should. He wasn't listening. It's hard to listen when your ears are on fire, but he was like, they were like, yeah, get on the floor. Get on. That's why I got the. That's nobody wanted to touch him.
Yeah.
So, because you noticed they were just hitting him with the jacket and the fire wasn't going out, and the guy threw the bike at him so he'd fall on the floor and maybe mm-hmm. they could roll him or something. Mm-hmm. But that's why he hit him with the bike. I like when the fire goes over, by the way.
He didn't die either. He was taken to a medical or to a hospital and
medical facility. Question for Disco and Conan.
Oh, wait, he died.
Yeah, the kid died.
Okay.
Yeah. Next is from Neil Damood. Subject DI works twice, 1998 Halloween Havoc. Question for Disco and Conan. Since I'm working from home, I can run pay-per-view shows from the past in the background. It's a fun trip down memory lane. I recently watched a 1998 Halloween Havoc. Disco wrestled Hoovy in a fun opening contest. Disco went on to wrestle Kidman for the TV title later that night.
Cruiserweight.
Edge suffered a major injury reshooting a portion of his match with Randy Orton at WrestleMania during the pandemic. Are wrestlers more prone to injury when an extended break between match occurs? And is there any preventative measures that DI or Conan might take when working multiple times in a night? Did either DI or Conan suffer an injury directly related to entering the ring cold after an extended period between matches? No, because you just warm up again before you went back out there. You would never go out there cold. So at least I wouldn't. You know, I'm sure nobody would. Kind of a weird question. Next is from Joe IM. The subject is King of the Rings. Peace and blessings, guys. Thanks for the last and endless entertainment. Just recently signed up for the Patreon. It's tremendous. Nothing? Question for DI and Conan. It's been on my mind lately. I'm hoping to get your opinion. Over your career spanning the globe, which promotions had the best and worst rings to take bumps in? I know you guys mentioned how rough the rings in Tijuana were, and I'm also curious as to if the six-sided ring from TNA felt any better or worse. Simply owning to its unique layout. While on the subject, did you see the six-sided ring ever making a comeback in a prominent promotion, be it Impact or elsewhere? Good health to you all, and thanks again. I was not a fan of the six-sided ring. They could just do away with that and it'd be no problem, to be honest with you. The best rings were WCW rings, I thought. The worst rings were definitely AAA. That Tijuana ring was the worst. It was the hardest ring I've ever been in all my years of wrestling.
Bro, there's even harder ones in Mexico than that. So,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I know, bro. And the best rings to me were in the United States and great rings in Japan. The rings in Puerto Rico were brutal.
Next is for Ryan Keft, and the subject is mailbag.
And this is one thing I just want to say to promoters out there who have never been in the ring. You think it's not a big deal, you know, bringing a cheap ring or a ring that's used for boxing. But the only thing that's happening is wrestlers aren't going to take risk, and you're denying the fans of a way better match if you would have just invested a little bit better, more money in a better ring. But go ahead.
I can't find the picture right now, but I saw it on Facebook that there is a ring. And one of the sides was held up by a tree stump. Would you get into that ring?
Can what now?
I saw a picture on Facebook of a wrestling ring, and one of the things holding it up was a tree stump. Like, it didn't have the pole or whatever. They had a tree stump on the side of the ring in the middle as one of the things holding it up.
What was this, in Africa or some shit?
No, it was some shitty American India, I guess. Probably in the South.
So next is from
Ryan Keft.
Yeah, that's a question mail back. Subject's mail. Good day, fellas. Curious if you think there's any correlation to the Dirt Cheap writers, commentators not wanting to converse or debate in their political leaning and or the way they take offense to the most smallest of things. For example, Meltzer's a typical California snowflake. Alvarez, as much as I love his opinions, is native to the Northwest and Washington, Oregon, where a lot of left-wingers reside. Cornette is a massive anti-Trumper and recluse in his own echo chamber. Then the other side is Russo, yourself, Disco, Conan, of course, Bischoff, etc., who are either center-right or politically benign, where nothing really triggers you guys, and there's always an opportunity to talk about more serious topics without being a pussy about it. Also, Disco, given your love for freaking haircuts and stylings, would you say you're addicted to the fade?
Hmm.
That's going to get a suspension. Put that rat
right in the
I will... there's definitely like guys like me and Coney and stuff. When have you ever seen us get triggered? Like that is a snowflake thing. Like these extreme left wingers. The outrage culture and triggered people getting triggered all the time. I can't really comprehend that. Like people that behave like that for you know in their daily lives. Like you're offended. Things upset you. So I'm like, you know, I don't know. I guess this has comes with having thick skin. What about you, Conan?
Yeah, I think it's more of a generational thing. And it is funny. I don't remember what he said in the first line, but he said something like, is there a correlation between
I'll read it again.
Yeah.
Any correlation to the Dirt Sheet writers, commentators not wanting to converse or debate and their political leaning or the way they take offense to the most smallest of things. Like a lot of the Dirt Sheet guys won't.
Yeah, there is a correlation. And it's like they have no problem throwing shade.
Right.
Like our boy Billy.
Right.
But when you clap back, you know, they get all bent out of shape and they get triggered. It's like, right. Bro, you're doing the same thing.
Right. Exactly.
How are you oblivious to, you know, you reap what you sow?
They're all like that. Like right. All of them. It's a very weird right. Character, you know, trait. They're like,
fuck you. Yeah. And then the other guy's like, fuck your mother. Wait, man, what are you talking about my mom? It's like, hey, mother, why'd you start this shit?
right. Yeah. Next is from our boy Jed Frankfurther. And the subject is Halloween Havoc. Now, by the way, how is Ebony and Ivory coming along, Joe?
They had to take a break from each other for a little while because they were getting too heated, but they're making a comeback here. As I
Let me explain
it.
To people the concept between Ebony and Ivory. This is a show with one black podcaster and one white podcaster.
Mike Holder. And these guys are all just the reason they have a connection to each other is because they're fans of us.
Yes.
So they were like fans of our podcast.
And if you listen to early shows, Mike Holder used to have mailbag submissions all the time, usually dissing disco.
Right.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah.
So this is a show between Mike Holder. I think he's in Vegas, maybe.
Yes.
Jeff Frankfurter, where's he at?
I think he's in Ohio. Yeah.
Right. And he's like a Republican. The other guy's a Democrat, black, white. Right. And they talk about issues of racial harmony in the first episode ended in fisticuffs.
Yep.
So that's
been in fisticuffs if they would have been in the same room.
Right. There were verbal fisticuffs.
Right. Mm-hmm. So in a show that's designed that a black
racial harmony.
To
promote racial harmony and do a podcast with each other has always ended in arguments.
Right.
Threats.
Threats.
I love that.
Late night angry texts.
Right.
You know.
That'd be pretty funny if they did. There was a parody song that we did, the song Ebony and Ivory. If you did a song that shows like their relationship.
Right.
Ebony and Ivory. Right. That's like,
arguing. Finger pointing.
Yeah, right. So Jed Frankfurter, subject is Halloween Havoc 97. Hey, K100 crew, I hope all is well. Came across a clip on Facebook that I don't remember at all. It was from Halloween Havoc 97 when a fan climbs a cage and gets into the ring. Do either of you remember this or have any more details? I've absolutely seen fans hop the railing and get in the ring many times but not climb a cage. I actually linked the link below, and that's very best friend of the show, Jed Frankfurter. P.S. Check out Ebony and Ivory. Holder and I discussed Trump and his road to Leah re-election in 2024 MAGA.
That's going to
be great. Yeah, that'd be great. You think that's going to end up in arguments, or are they going to end up agreeing with
I don't think they're going to make it past 5 minutes.
You don't think so?
Nope. No way.
Joe, pull up a – can you find a clip from the show?
Jed has all the files, so Jed will have to send it to me.
Oh, okay.
Ask him so he can have it next week.
Yeah.
What's this Facebook clip that we have here for this?
All right. I can't enlarge this, so this is it. But it's a fan climbing the cage and getting in the ring.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, yes, it is. Over the top, a fan is coming.
That's not a good move.
Holy moly.
A fan in a Sting mask on.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's broke loose here, guys. It really is broke loose. This crowd is irate. They are standing around this building.
Roddy Piper, absolutely helpless. This fan.
Oh, jeez.
It's got to be a work.
Of course that's a
the
work.
Never, ever happened.
You'll never have to see. I'm going to tell you what, guys. This day.
You hit him like with a.
No. Because it's like a fan with a Sting mask on. So they're beating up the fan that got in the ring because of the Sting mask on.
Right.
That's that deal with your head of security.
But let me say this.
All right, good.
If you are ever thinking of going into the ring, well, I don't. 9 out of 10 times, the wrestler's going to kick the shit out of you, bro.
Well, and no. You better be very careful if you want to try to hit the ring, because the referee, when you're climbing through the ropes, you might get kicked in the face by the referee, because the referee's
he's the first line of defense.
Right. So he's the one probably see you, and you might get kicked right in the face as you're trying to crawl in. Trying to get into the ring if you're going in face.
If you're trying to become famous and you don't want to die over it, like, you know, those police by suicide, but you just want to take a good beating and then it go viral, get into a ring when there's wrestlers in there. That's all I want to say.